Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BikeRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest joining us from the UK is Marie Della Nota. She is author of The Healing of the 1 Pound Baby. The bond between mother and child is one without equal in the history of sentient life. It encompasses avenues of connection which, to this day, have yet to be fully understood. But for Marie Della Nota, the outermost shrouds of that bond were briefly lifted when her daughter Eloisa entered our world following a mere 24-week pregnancy. You can purchase Marie's book at Amazon.com, and I do have a direct link to her book there in the show page description. And you can also find out more about Marie and her other products and services by visiting her website, which is MarieDellaNota.com. That's MarieDellaNote.com. And I do have a direct link to that as well in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Marie to the show. Good day, Marie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. And how about yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for joining me. I know it's quite late for you over there in the UK right at the moment, so I really appreciate you staying up a little bit late to chat with us.
That's okay.
Okay. Well, like I just mentioned briefly before we came on air, that Eloisa is just a doll. I have a picture of her in the, with her and you in the show page pictures rotation, but she looks just like she's an angel.
I think so, a very special girl who has brought me a very special gift. You know, just her coming has taught me incredibly a lot about myself and about who I am. So I think so that she is the most beautiful gift the universe could have given me. Of course, at the time when the child is born that early, you don't realize that yet, and it's all very dramatic.
I was going to say I have a very good friend whose grandchild was also born right about that time, but she was also she was between 1 and 2 pounds too, and so I mean I saw the struggle, you know, that I mean each week when I would meet up with my friend, she would show me pictures and tell me all the stories of what went on, and it's quite a journey when you're trying to, you know, deal with a young one in such a fragile state.
Yes, well, simply to say, you know, there's a reason why a pregnancy is 40 weeks. Before that, the body is simply not ready to function properly. So you can imagine if a child is born at just 24 weeks, it's not only very, very small, and it's not only the lungs that aren't fully ready to function, but it's so much more. When those tiny little babies go through birth, because their bodies are so small, they can get very bruised because their tiny body is not ready to go through the birth canal. My Eloisa, by example, was very bruised, but the problem with that is that these are bleedings inside the body, which doctors have no idea from how serious that can be, and that's purely from being born. Their pancreas doesn't work properly yet, so it doesn't produce enough insulin, so that can bring their bodies into shock and worse. They don't make enough red blood cells quick enough. which makes them needing many blood transfusions. Like my Eloisa had 7 blood transfusions. They might get bleedings in the brain, again, because of the trauma of being born, because, again, their bodies are so small and have to go through the birth canal. She had 2 small bleeds in her brain. But then I will tell you later about all the beautiful natural healing. And luckily, they resolved. But for the same, as many little ones have born at that stage in pregnancy, it causes damage in the brain and with all terrible things that then happen to them, you know, physical handicaps or, you know, it can be really, really serious. But then what this whole story is about is that she is now absolutely perfect. She's 2.5 years old. She's a typical bossy, loud, very active 2-year-old. She's got her tantrums. She's got it all. So, you know, she's incredible. She's an example that, you know, it can all be perfect. And that's what I want to send out, this wave of positivity, not only for people who have gone through it or are going through it or know that they will go through it, but many other people can just relate to the story in just other cases.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's such a wonderful message to give out, you know, because like you say, when you're in the midst of that, it's hard to, you know, to really kind of look toward a future where things are going to be, quote, normal, you know. And I bet it really kind of changes your perspective when she has a tantrum. It's like, oh, yay, that's okay. Go ahead, have it.
Definitely. Well, many, many people tell me now you have to treat her like your other children. You can't think anymore. Oh, she's my little preemie because she's now very healthy, good 2-year-old. So if she has a tantrum, she goes on a naughty step, you know, like the other children. So I have to be very aware of that.
She
would know very quickly that she can play me otherwise. She's a clever little girl.
No doubt. A survivor. So that's great. Well, you know, before we go into a little bit more detail about Eloisa, when I started to read the first part of your book, which is available on Amazon, and I noticed that you had you have other children, 3 other children, correct?
Yes, I have 3 other children. Yes.
Right, and I noticed that in the very beginning you talk about Jack, your son, and then you had a rather mystical appearance of what was soon to be Adam, correct? I'd love to hear about that.
Yes, that was I would say it's been my whole life that I've always been incredibly interested in the mystical part of life and everything, tarot cards, and I remember seeing, entities in my bedroom, and it was things that I knew my sisters didn't see. So I've always been very attracted to it all. And it's like the older I got, especially once I started having the children, I started having visions, very sporadically still, but it kind of got thrown into my life. Maybe from above they were testing me to see what my strongest spiritual point would be, what I could work with. But by example, indeed, I had my Jack, and I was breastfeeding him, and we knew we wanted to have a second one. So he had to go and take the bottle. But Jack being Jack, an incredibly stubborn character, very, very strong character, he was refusing the bottle. He was not going to have that bottle. So I kind of, you know, I was at the end, you know, I was like, goodness me, child, take the bottle, you know, we want another child. And at that moment, I can remember seeing myself sitting in the kitchen, and I was on my right side, just above my head, there was this little boy with big blue eyes appearing, and it felt very peaceful and very, very nice. And with the whole, these visions go really quickly, but they're incredibly clear. And it was this beautiful little boy with big blue eyes talking to Jack, saying, "For goodness sake, Jack, take that bottle." And funny enough, I had been trying for weeks. 2 seconds after that little boy appeared to me, Jack took the bottle and he drank his milk. And that's how I knew there's a bossy, big, you know, blue-eyed boy coming to us. And indeed, Jack took the bottle. And not long after that, I found out I was pregnant. And we had a little boy with big blue eyes.
Wow.
Which was quite incredible. Beautiful.
It is.
Vision.
It is. Yeah, that is. You know, to have that. Now I think the spirits know better to appear to me, because I would just kind of, you know, be joining them real quick over where they are.
Yes.
So, you know, I think they just use noise and all kind of other methods rather than actual visions. But now, do you think that maybe Jack might have kind of tuned in or recognized, was it Adam? Adam was the second one, correct?
Yes, Adam. If he is still very spiritual, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I do notice that he is highly, highly sensitive to everything he does. I have the feeling, and when I tuned in once, that he is very new here. I know, and the funny thing is, when I start watching him, that if I compare him with Jack, Jack seems to know, how would I say, everything on earth. You see, when he eats, he will taste everything. Like he knows how the earthly life is. With my Adam, you notice it's all still very new, and he feels a lot lighter as well. I've noticed he's got a fairy around him as well, which just says everything to me. So it's quite amazing that little boy that I saw there in a vision, that he's exactly the same now he's here. But don't take me wrong, he can have massive tantrums and can get very angry, but he has an incredibly fine energy around him. So we'll see how he will get going.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that's just part of the plan, you know, those little tantrums and,
yes.
Why, you know, there's a whole
yes.
series of stages that children go through that it just seems like it's a natural progression. So, you know,
definitely.
And you know, it's really good to see. Now, one of the things I noticed in your book, you talked about that there's and from your experience, there was like there's an energetically explained reason for premature birth and pregnancy problems, and you know, for women out there that are, you know, going through those problems right now. What is your belief? You know, that the energetic part of that experience.
Well, I have found out that certain life events can lead to the blockages of certain energy points. And then the blockages in certain energy points are related to specific illnesses that come up, that are created. Now, of course, I'll never, especially with pregnancy problems, that's a very delicate matter, because the woman will blame herself very easily. Because, you know, when it's about your child, you know, you blame yourself. Now, that's something I never, never want to hear, because these things happen in such deep, in our deep consciousness that we can't always do something about it. It's only when we become more aware that we can go healing and go forward. But I truly believe, and I have written that in my book, and I talk about many life events and many different diseases, psychological problems, physical problems, but then I indeed also go into detail into which life events can cause blockages in certain energy points, and that then leads to pregnancy problems like preeclampsia, cervical problems, placenta abruption, so all premature births. To make it very clear, so I have written that out clearly, but to then explain it and on the hand of my situation, by example, the reason why, because my first three pregnancies were perfect. I never had any problems. So physically, there was no reason for me to have such a micro preemie. Now, I had gone through, I know that through readings, through a lot of, how would you say, in past lives, I always felt less than other people, emotional, being put down, and that's all the past lives. Of course, you carry that with you in your energy system. Sometimes you can't explain things here because it's in past lives. Then on top of that, I was carrying family circles. We all carry family circles. These are things that go from mother to daughter, and so on. By example, of my family, they're beautiful people, very loving, but as everyone, they carry certain energy systems with them, which they gave to me unconsciously, meaning it was all about the woman always feeling less and, I'll be quiet, so there's peace, you know, being scared of saying what you think, because then, of course, you don't want fights, and that's why you keep quiet, and I'll carry that pattern on. So, of course, when you keep quiet constantly and you don't dare to say what you feel because you're scared of fights, you will make yourself ill. In my case, my husband worked a lot. He's a fabulous husband. He's a really kind man. But in our relationship, he worked very hard. And instead of me telling him, help, you know, it's too much for me, I can't carry it anymore, I didn't say anything, but I got angry with him. So it festered inside because I was scared to tell him what I thought, because I was scared that he would leave me. Silly things, because I know he loves me and we're a very good family. But so I kept quiet. But at a certain point, things like that become too much. So it was it was about emotions. So that happens in your sacral chakra, your emotional chakra, that is situated just 2 centimeters under the belly button. And it was about communication, so my throat chakra. So I created, when it became too much, a infection. An infection is a disease that eventually comes after the sacral chakra energy point of emotion is being blocked. Now, Streptococcus A, it was. That was an infection. And it's an infection in the throat. In the throat, well, again, the communication. So my throat chakra was blocked because I couldn't say what I felt, what I thought. So that's to give a good example of what was going on here. And because of that throat infection, Streptococcus A, it infected my uterus, and I was pregnant. So there you go. It affected my baby. So this is how these things go. The same with preeclampsia will affect. So it's different types of life events that will block, by example, sacral, solar plexus, and the heart chakra. So people who have preeclampsia have different blocked energy points caused by different types of life events that have caused the blockage. So, and it might sound a bit much and complicated, but it's very straightforward, and I've explained it very nicely in the book. It's very well to be followed, and it's just I wasn't planned to write about that part in the book, but it just happened. And the more I went through it and started looking at, oh, hang on, you know, if physical illnesses are created by blockages in the energy system as a cause of certain life events, that means that all these pregnancy problems and preterm birth are also have their roots in blocked energy points, and that's caused by certain life events. And I found it really interesting when I then went through to people who helped me out with that when I started talking to people who had certain problems in their pregnancy, and I told them about, spoke to them more closely about life events and stuff. I was like, oh my goodness, this is all correct. That's incredible. So it's quite an eye opener to look at it from not a medical point of view like you know the Western world does, but just look at it from a completely different angle. Because I believe that if you go and heal on these energy points, then that can be, I know that's a big word, but it can be prevented. That's how I look at it. It's just looking at it from a completely different angle. But it works. I found it an incredible eye-opener when I wrote it down.
Yeah, you know, it's like you say, it is a completely different perspective, you know, where in, you know, in the medical perspective, you know, in dealing with, you know, pregnancy issues or premature birth, so much focus is on the physical aspect of, you know, what's transpiring versus, you know, that energetic, emotional level. And, well, that's, now, in your book, you mentioned that you really hadn't anticipated really kind of going into that much detail in that book. When was it that you decided to write this book? I mean, you know, at what point did you realize, you know, I'm going to need to do this to help other people?
It was, again, a beautiful moment, right? I wasn't planning on writing about this, but I was on my way to Belgium, and I had the four children in the car, and I just came to the Dartford crossing, and it was a big traffic jam, so we slowed down and we stopped, and suddenly it was this, and that's how you knew, how I know it comes from above, because it's just so clear. I had this title, The Healing of the 1 Pound Baby, just popped in my head, and it felt so light and clear that it was like, I have to write this down. So I quickly took a piece of paper while I was standing there and scribbled it on, and I remember talking to my angel saying, well, I don't fully get it, but it just feels so right. I'll write this down and tell me later what I need to do. So... and that's what I did. But of course, I wrote the title down, but I never forgot it. It was just so strong and with such a beautiful, light, clear feeling that I knew I had to do something with that. And it was only, I'd say, 6 months later that I actually, one day, it was after another beautiful spiritual person, I read one of her quotes saying that we need everyone in this life to do their mission. Because sometimes I feel, who am I that I have to write about this? But again, that's still an old thing that is in there that I need to, you know, let go. But I read that and I was like, right, let's do this. And I just started writing, and within 4 months, I had written the book. So the whole story was there, and the more I was writing, the more that came out. As I say, the whole chapter about the energetic reason behind pregnancy problems and premature birth, I hadn't even thought about that, but it clearly had to be in there, and I know, and I'm 100% sure that it's a real eye opener, and I'm really hoping to open people's eyes in a beautiful, positive way, just to look at it differently.
Yeah, very much so. Now, and what's interesting, you talked about one's mission, you know, that kind of aspect. I noticed in the beginning of the book also, you talked a little bit about, you know, the challenge that some women go through when starting a family, you know, that, you know, their dreams and aspirations sometimes are, you know, become second to raising a family and that kind of thing. So quite often there's that challenge of, you know, why am I here? What am I doing kind of thing, other than, you know, being a parent, a good parent to the children. So it sounds like that book, that whole thing was, kind of like an answer, to, why, in addition to being a good mom, one of the things that you can do to help people.
Yeah, definitely. I've always really been looking, as we all do, who am I, and my husband is a few years older than me, and when I just came out of college, out of university, when I was pregnant with Jack, with our first, and I decided to not go to work because I really wanted to be there for the children. And even though, as every mum, we love them, I love them more than anything, but once I was home every day, I knew I was doing good, that it was good for my children, but I felt like I wasn't me, and I felt so lonely and so, how would I say, it's incredibly hard. I admire women who can stay at home every day looking after the children. I felt like something was missing. I had to do something for me. But I suppose it was all part of the plan. I had to go through that to realize certain things. It's so often, and I was the same, when you want to have a baby and you think it's all going to be pinky cloud and, but it's very often not that way. I had my first two children, I had postnatal depression. I felt so misunderstood. Again, I felt like I couldn't talk to my husband. Poor sod, he didn't even know about what was going on in my mind because I didn't tell him. So, so what could he do? But still, I felt so on my own. And it was incredibly sad. And I wish it would be a bit more recognized in society that being a mother and being at home can be incredibly hard for a woman. It's actually easier bringing them to nursery and go to work for a few hours because it gives you the possibility to talk to other adults, to get away from screaming sessions.
Have an actual conversation.
Yes. That's what I want to say in the book as well. If you're not on your pinky cloud, it's okay, but try and talk to people and try and find a way out for yourself and for the children. It's very important to do that.
Absolutely. Okay. Marie, we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take a quick 2-minute break, and then invite anyone who would like to call in and ask you any questions. They can call in at 619-789-4359. Or for those of you listening in the chat room and you'd like me to pose a question to Marie, just feel free to type it in there, and I'll be happy to do that. And then when we come back, Marie, several of the topics I'd like to talk in next are psychic surgery. That played a part in this whole story. And then there's also something to do with an energy-sucking nurse and spiritual healing. So anyway, there's a lot of things in addition to ethereal crystal healing. So anyway, those are the topics that we're going to talk about right after the break. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Robert, it's Chris from Curious Times. Just want to let you know I read your book, Joy Potential. Thought it was an awesome story, and the twists and the turns were great. I felt like the characters were just really easy to relate to. I most appreciated how the book delivers some sage advice without making you feel like you're being lectured to, and without feeling like I was reading another one of those thousands of self-help books written by some spiritual guru. Very entertaining learning, and the book left me wanting to know what happens next. Thanks so much, and good luck with this book, Robert.
For more information, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me. Or call 843-808-0777.
This is Roy Worley at mysticalship.com. R.P. Sharp has done it again. His new book, It's No Secret, Spirituality Bites, with Bite, B-I-T-E, being an acronym for Bringing Inspiration to Earth, has once again hit a home run. Unlike R.P. Sharpe's first book, Joy Potential, which was a uniquely original story containing a message of hope and inspiration for everyone regardless of where they happen to be on their personal spiritual path. It's No Secret is a compilation of awareness, insight, guidance, and wisdom that can help anyone navigate through their lives on a daily basis. It's No Secret also contains resources and references that enable a person to find expanded information on a variety of issues that affect all of us. Order It's No Secret today. I guarantee it will be a valuable resource for help with whatever your needs are.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, this is Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show, and my very special guest is Marie Della Nota, and you can find out more about Marie and her book, The Healing of the One-Pound Baby, by visiting her website, which is mariedellanota.com, and that's mariedellanota.com, and I do have a direct link to her website, as well as a direct link to her book, which is available at Amazon.com in the show page description. So with that, we're back, Marie.
Yes, hi.
Great. One of the things that I noticed in your book, you have several different chapters that speak to baby development facts and the gestation weeks. Why did you feel that it was important to put those in there?
Well, just to give a basic idea of how a baby is developed, what they're doing, what they can do, how they look like at each different gestation, because there's clearly between 23, 24, and 26 weeks, there's already a big difference. I thought it would just give people a better idea of to picture how the babies look like at that stage. By example, like at Louisa, between 23, 26 weeks, when babies are then born at that stage, the very little ones, 23, 24, their skin is not fully formed yet. So I remember when I saw her for the first time, it was still very red and it was sticky. So I couldn't even stroke her because her skin was not fully formed yet. Her eyes were still fused, fused, and she couldn't open them at all yet. It was just physically not possible. And then as well, the most of the brain cells are in place, but they're not yet fully interconnected. How would I say they look very, very skinny. It's literally there's no fat the fat layers haven't. Are not there yet, so it's literally skin over bone. But when you get to 26 weeks, even though they're still very prem babies, but then they can already open their eyes. The fat starts to lay under the skin, but of course they're still very prem babies who need a lot of care. But you can literally see how they develop and how they change. That's why I put that in the book. By example, before many hospitals can deliver babies from 27 weeks gestation on, but there's only certain specific hospitals who can deliver babies smaller, younger than that, because they simply don't have the equipment or the specialized doctors to help those babies younger than 27 weeks gestation.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure for parents who are dealing with that, that's a real helpful guide. Just as you're explaining to them, it made me shiver thinking of all of the poor struggle that Eloisa went through. Now, in your book, a couple times you talk about the use of psychic surgery. I'm really curious as to what your experience was with that, and how did you use it? I'm real curious about that. I haven't really had much interaction with people who have had that happen.
Well, it's I've always been a very visual person. It's always happening visually. Now, to quickly give you an idea, this is where it comes from. When I was 9 years old, I had bad dreams all the time, and I didn't want to go to sleep. And my mum said to me, why don't you imagine your head opening up and you take the bad dreams out? You put them in a balloon and you let them fly away. And since then, it just evolved. Because funnily enough, when I did that, I could go to sleep and I didn't have any nightmares. And it evolved and evolved as I got bigger. And I started thinking, oh, maybe this works differently. And then I had a spiritual teacher who actually mentioned it, psychic surgery. And I was like, wow, this actually has a name. It exists. People do it. So that's how I kept going further with it, more confidently, because I knew it wasn't just me who made it up, because still doubting myself. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible. And then, of course, when I say the universe gave me this beautiful baby, when your baby's laying there, you try everything you got in you to help that, you know, I wanted to help my child. So I was like, right, let's get stuck in here and do this. So to give you an example, it's literally surgery, but in the mind. So everything is imagined. Nothing is real material, nothing immaterial. It's all in the mind. So by example, she, of course, her lungs, because she was so premature, the lungs got alveoli inside, which when babies are born that premature, many of them are damaged. So that makes it very difficult for them to breathe. Now, what I would do is I would say her name, so to get her energy in the room, so I knew, so the universe knew what I was working on. And then I would imagine seeing her lungs, and psychically trying to see what was going on. Now, I was just seeing what they were showing me, and I could see that it wasn't nice. So what did I do? I imagined putting like a sucking pipe through the lungs and sucking all the dead alveoli out. So like that it would be cleared of everything that wasn't nice and that wasn't good. So I literally, I'll do repeat again, it's all in the mind, it's all psychically. Suck all that out, and when I felt the lungs kind of calming down and they looked clear and I could see all the beautiful angels taking all that stuff then away, I filled them with green healing light, and then I knew that they were healed. I would do it with many, many things, because that's how it works. You know, you imagine it with love and strong, beautiful intention. And then once you're done, you let it go. And you let the universe deal with the rest. By example, the two little bleeds she had in her brain, I would do the same. I would say her name and then imagine seeing her brain and seeing these two little bleeds. And I would literally, imaginary, suck it out. Or sometimes there's other things where you need imaginary scalpels or scissors or whatever it is you need to
get the job done.
To move what is there. Yes, whatever it is, you imagine it. It's like you're in surgery, but in your mind. Or a virus, if they have a virus, you suck all the little creatures that you see in the blood, you suck them out and then you imagine the blood being healthy and nice and red and flowing beautifully. And it had incredible, mind-blowing effects. Incredible. So that was for me, again, a massive confirmation about how incredibly strong our mind is.
Yeah, and the connectedness, you know, because, I mean, just with the ability to mention, you know, Eloisa's name and kind of, you know, get within that, you know, etheric field, you know, to be able to do that is really important part of that.
Well, now,
there was one chapter in your book, and I just kind of chuckled a little bit, but I mean, it's a serious thing. But the healing of the energy-sucking new nurse, I thought,
yes.
Oh, my God, that sounds like the nurse from hell. You know, Mary Poppins
yes.
gone mad.
Well, I couldn't say it any other way. I thought different times about the title, but I couldn't shorten it. I couldn't say it any different way. That's how it was. Well, you know, again, that's the incredible thing. This whole journey, I learned so much about healing. It was like my spiritual abilities just opened up massively, all thanks to, I'll say it like that, to the premature birth of Eloisa. So it was this, one day I came in and to see her, and this was this new nurse. She was a trainee nurse. She came from another hospital who was there just for, I can't remember, for a few days just to do training. And straight away, it just, when you had, I had that feeling, oh, goodness me, that feels really uncomfortable. And first I was like, oh, well, I'm just exaggerating, you know, what am I, don't know the lady, so, you know, don't think or say anything about her. But it came very clear to me very quickly that there was work to be done, as I saw it. You could literally see how she was sucking, she was one of these people. Of course, consciously, she didn't know what she was doing. This on
right.
energy level. She was someone who was desperate for youth and life and energy. Of course, if you come in a neonatal intensive care unit, the energies of these battling babies are incredible. The little souls fight to stay in these tight, well, these strong souls fight so hard to stay in these tiny little bodies. Well, she was in the perfect place, I'd say, to find the energies. And I could literally see how she was, well, trying to take them from the babies to feed herself. It all sounds very weird, but I don't know how else to explain it. That's how I saw it. Again, that's energetically, you know, she consciously didn't
right.
know what she was doing. So I felt from above I had to do something. I couldn't, you know, because it was on a day. And all the babies, they kept, the saturations kept dropping, they stopped breathing. And everyone was like, what is going on today? And I was like, oh,
yeah.
Right, I've seen it. All right, I'll do something about it. I'll see what I can do. So it was a new lesson, something new to learn. So I went into my room, and I didn't know her name, but I just pictured her, and the energy came very, very quickly. And I just pictured the ward and what was going on, what I had seen. And I kind of just energetically put a big bubble around her. So in the material, so she would be safe and with healing, but that she couldn't suck from the babies. And then I would, around each incubator in the ward, I'd put a big circle of pink protective lights. So she couldn't get to them, and it worked incredibly, because it took several days, because she dropped again. So every morning again, I'll put the big bubbles of light protection around each baby, and they were fine. They're doing really well. They were fine again. All of them were doing very, very well, and she calmed down. I think on energetic level, because I tried to speak to her via the truth, the higher self as well, that way. So she couldn't do it anymore, that she had to find the strength in herself, and I kind of contained it with the bubble around her with green energy healing in it, so she would heal herself and on a deeper, higher level, find out that she had to stop doing this, because she wasn't helping anyone. So it was incredible. So, and by the time the job was done, she left. Because she was someone who worked on those neonatal, or was going to work on these neonatal intensive care units, so we couldn't have that. So there you go. That's the story about the energy sucking new nurse.
Well, you know, I mean, it's. I mean, I you know, I know people who are, you know, very much the, you know, energy, you know, vampires or energy sucking, you know, but. I mean, there are people, it seems, that that really don't, like you say, don't recognize their own power within and really kind of seek that from others, you know. And and it's, you know, I've found recently that it's just been so important to be, for me, to identify those people and to minimize or even cut off, you know, my contact with that, because it doesn't help me and it doesn't help them. Like you say, you know, it, you tried to, when you filled it with the green healing light, you know, it was, you know, an attempt to show her that she has that within.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and it happens on a deeper level, but, you know, that way, you know, I wasn't, you know, she's deep within. She's a good person like everyone else, but clearly she had a lesson to learn to find the light within herself and leave all these lovely babies alone. So, yes, that's what I was learned, taught to do there.
Yeah. Now, there's one chapter in your book that, you know, is probably the what's on every the mind of every parent, you know, and that it was that when one baby on the word passed away. You know, I mean, you know, when these babies are going through the struggle, struggle of survival, you know, that has to be on parents' minds. So when that happened on the ward when Eloisa was there, what went through your mind?
It was, I get goosebumps again. It's the last thing as a parent you want to think about. It's something you do not want to think about. It was, I tried to avoid it, because I did not want that to enter my mind, but clearly I was there and I had to check certain things and heal energies, because I was there in a small room, because I was staying there because we were 2 hours away from home, and the grandparents of that baby that passed away were staying in the room next to me. And for some reason, well, the universe knows, they asked me to go and stay in that room. The energies were so, so painful. So I was trying to avoid that, and then they stick me into that room. So it was a bit like, right, you know, this is not funny.
But what are you trying to do to me?
But, I was a bit like looking up, like, yeah, come on, you know, really? But so I had no choice. So these people left. It was a very sad moment on the ward. And when I went to the room, I did lots of healing on the room, so no one else who had to stay in that room would feel that, because these are energies that don't just go away. It was very heavy, and it would be other mums from Prem Babies that would be staying in that room, so you don't want to sleep in those energies while you have to be strong for your own baby. So I cleared it out beautifully. Again, I came up with new techniques, like putting 4 pipes in each corner of the room to let all the negative or sad energy, sad energy go away. I'd put crystals in the room, try to imagine it, put Reiki symbols, and just cleared it beautifully. And in the meantime, I couldn't avoid it. I clearly had to help out of it there. I checked if it was a little boy, if he had gone, and he had gone up straight after he passed away, so to be sure that he didn't hang around because of the deep grief of his parents. But he had gone straight away after he passed away. But it's very, very sad. And, you know, the thing is then, like, because I've done the healing on Eloisa, she came out so beautifully. If other parents would ask, you know, to do healing on their baby, and, you know, always have to remember, I'm not the one who decides about life or death, you know. That is something that is decided on higher level. But for the ones that decide to stay and fight, and I strongly believe that by working on the energy system, that you could, they can be perfectly healthy. But it was a very sad experience to be there when that happens.
I'm sure that it is, you know, and like you say, it's one of those things that you know, obviously try to avoid, but it's, you know, that's one of the things that it just has to be on people's minds.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
I think it was also because right from the beginning, I had closed my mind off for every single little fluff of negativity. I had, my whole mind was like, positive. My child is going to be absolutely fine. And I, you know, I was so focused on the positive outcome. And then when that baby passed away, it was just, I call it reality or I don't know, but it broke that seal of positivity. You know, it was something that tried to enter. And it was, for me, a bit, it shook me. It shook me a bit, you know, out of my positive bubble, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that it would, you know, and that's just, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, and people who, like us, who, you know, try to remain positive, you know, mm-hmm. we try to avoid, you know, those sad situations. I mean, that's just a part of life. And I think part of it is for us, you know, to experience that too, in a way, just to strengthen our empathy with others who mm-hmm. are going through the same kind of thing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Now, you mentioned just a little bit about the crystal aspect. Did you employ crystal healing in some of your work?
Yes, I started with the physical crystal, with the crystals, the way we all know them. Of course, that was when, once Eloisa came home. Before that, I couldn't bring the crystals into the incubator. You know, it was probably kicked me out. But once she came home, I started applying crystal healing. So I looked through the crystals, what they would do, and I had followed in the past crystal therapy, and I was like, right, let's give this a good go and see how it goes. And so I put them in her, because of course you always have to be very careful with crystals and little ones, but I put them in her socks at the bottom of her feet, because it just felt like that was the best place to put them. It's right at the sole of the foot. I was like, that's a beautiful, strong energy point to let the energy of the crystal go through. And it was in the daytime. She was still little, so she wouldn't kick them out. And I just kept an eye on her, and at night I would take them out. And I would use crystals, the sodalite, because so she would be calm and it would heal. So it was every crystal I would use for what she still had. So she was still having water retention. Of course, water retention, water spiritually is always linked to emotion. She was holding water around her groin, which means the groin is the sacral chakra, is the energy point of emotion. Of course, she holding water up means that she still was holding up lots of emotions from everything that happened. So the sodalite is really good, helps against water retention. Once she came home, she still had it, but with the help of the crystal, after, say, 3 days, it went. And the sodalite also is an incredibly calming crystal, and it helped her to just be calm and happy. And then I used that was on one foot, and then she had, in each sock she had one, there was the tiger eye, because that's a really good one for the lungs, also, again, for the sacral chakra, and also for the solar plexus, which very often that's blocked with little ones because the suppression of the will is in there. Of course, with these tiny little babies, they can't say what they want. They're just there, you know, being prodded and with needles and all sorts. So that they get blocked. So that's why so many premies have problems with feeding their stomach. So I thought, you know, right, tiger eye, let's keep that nicely flowing, the energy. And so that's what I did. And I remember when community nurses would come, they were very respectful of that, and they would always ask first, has she got any crystals in her socks? So I didn't take them out. But it worked it worked beautifully with the crystals. Very, very impressed, I'd say. And I haven't stopped using them since. But to be honest, with after a while, I had crystals all over the house. And I was then cleansing them, and then they had to be charged. And I couldn't keep up. And I was said to my angels, like, this is too much for me. You know, I'm bored with keep having to cleanse them and charge them. And it's too much, especially if I didn't use them on clients as well. And the next healing session I was doing with a client, they suddenly showed me how to put the crystal, imagine the crystal going into the energy point. So just the energy of the crystal being used. And I was like, "Whoa, this is useful! Wow, this is incredible!" But still, again, a bit like, "Is this real?"
Yeah.
Because the incredible thing, but it works 400 times stronger than physical crystals because they're so pure. They haven't been influenced by the energies of the earth. They come purely pure from the universe in full strength, and you can place them in organs in wherever they need to be. So from then on, I used that on Eloisa, which was an incredible, for me, wow. I was, you know, since then I've always used them. You don't need to worry about cleansing them, about charging them. They're always there in full strength and power. So that's what I've used after that. So the second she had calls coming up, there I was, you know, with the intentional crystal healing, and it was incredibly strong. Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful. Well, we're down to the last few minutes, Marie. This has really been a lot of fun. So before we close, you know, what is it that you hope that the reader will take away from reading your book, Healing of the One-Pound Baby?
Truly hoping it's an eye opener. It's to open the reader's eyes to a different side of how we can live, of how we can heal, of how we can do things ourselves. I still believe that the human mind maybe is not strong enough yet to fully do it on our own. We still need a bit of that, but I'm convinced that one day we will do. But at this point, we still need the beautiful cooperation of both of them. But I want to open people's eyes, give them hope, let the ripple on the water be a positive one that keeps going, that beautiful positive things are a part of who we are. But we have to believe in it, and we can do so much beautiful stuff with our mind. That's what I want to spread with my book.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, I do want to mention that you are on Twitter and Facebook, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and people, if they go to your website, mariedelanota.com, there are links there for people to join up or join you. I went ahead and followed you on Twitter, and I've got my friend request on Facebook waiting for you. So I'm looking forward to following you on you there, Marie. Well, thank you for your time today. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Talking to us late. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, again, everyone, my very special guest joining us from the UK is Marie Delanota. She is author of The Healing of the One-Pound Baby. And again, you can find out more about Marie, her blog, all kinds of information by visiting her website, which is mariedelanota.com, mariedelanote.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BiteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BiteRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. roywarley@mysticalship.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.